You're very welcome back to another episode of Tree Talk with myself and Matt O'Callaghan of the Weekly Observer and Vale Star. It's another bumper weekend in Limerick GAA, and probably the first weekend where we've a clash with football and hurling on, so there's plenty of games to go through. And there's probably no better place to start than the Limerick Senior Hurling Final between the Pearshigan Doon this Saturday evening at 7:30 in the LIT Gaelic Grounds. It's probably the pinnacle of Limerick GAA, the Senior Hurling Final. It pits the Pearshigan, who've won 5 titles in the last 10 years against Doon, still looking for a first title, a repeat 2018 final. The Pearshigan will be heavy favourites, but Doon have upset the odds numerous times this year already. How do you see this one going, Matt?
Yeah, Jack, as you said there at the outset in your opening remark, it's a bumper weekend. It's a bumper weekend of sport. And looking at the Met Office predictions for the weekend, they're very, very good, which should add to it. But you're right, like it's Limerick's Blue Ribbon Day, of course. Limerick Hurling's Blue Ribbon Day, the day of the County Senior Hurling Final. And I suppose you would, it's fair to say that you probably would have got long odds against Doon being in the final. Like they suffered an inordinate amount of injuries coming into the competition. You know, if you said at the start of the year, like Richie English is out, Stephen Ryan is out, Carl McNamara is out, Dean Coleman was out for the first game, Conor Ryan was out injured, you know, the odds would have lengthened considerably on Doon making it probably to the semi final, but they're there on merit. There can be no dispute whatsoever about that. And for the semi-final, they had lost Dara O'Donovan, who was another key player. And what I noticed about him, if you recall, Jack, through the group stage of the competition, Doon were very, very hard to beat. They refused to be beaten. Against all the odds, I suppose, more so against Patrick's Well, but they forced draws with Adair and with Patrick's Well, which was enough to see him through. Now, they got a bit of a challenge, I suppose, in the opening exchanges from South Liberties. But, you know, when they found their rhythm, they just drove on. And, I think they found a new level in the semi-final. And are we surprised that they're there? Probably yes, we are. If we dig a bit deeper, maybe we're not as surprised. Like, it's Doon have won the last two Premier Limerick Under 21 Hurling Championships. They were two very, very significant wins. And you have players coming off that side, like Chris Thomas, who's still a minor and has been a revelation so far. You've Conor Ryan. You have Mikey O'Brien, like, who bedded in at centre back in place of Dara O'Donovan in the semi final and was outstanding. You have Josh Ryan, you have Jack Ryan. You know, are we surprised that these guys are making the transition from under 21 to senior? We shouldn't be, but maybe what we're slightly surprised about is that they're making it so quickly. No, but there seems to be a togetherness about Doon, and there's a work ethic about him, and they brought intensity to the game against Kilmallock, that Kilmallock struggled for long periods to match, and during the first half, we were saying in commentary that we were. You know, excusing Kilmallock insofar as that we were saying, here they're coming in cold after 4 weeks off whilst Doon had a quarter final. But at no stage in the second half did Doon let up. They maintained the work rate, the discipline and the commitment and the intensity for 60 odd minutes. And I think they're really in a good place. Like now we'll come to deciding who we might think might win it afterwards. But if you reflect on 2 years ago when they were soundly beaten in the county final by Napiershig, I think Doon are in a far better place this time, even though they're without Richie English, and there's a strong possibility and probably a likelihood that they may be without Darragh O'Donovan. But it gives you an idea of the amount of work that they have been doing behind the scenes back there in Doon, that they can build such a strong panel that insulates them against that type of loss and loss of players of that type of caliber. But when we talk about Napiershig, you know, Jack, they take so many boxes, and like they were very, very convincing winners in their semi-final. And it was hard to see from early on anything other than Napiershig winning this one. Like they set out their stall right from the get-go. Now, Patrick's well, to a degree, they pressed the self-destruct button before halftime when they got reduced to 14 players. And we said at the time that you need 15 players, and more often than not, 15 players isn't enough to beat Napiershig. So, you know, you're making your task very, very much greater if you're down to 14 players. Now, Kevin Down suffered what seemed to be a pretty nasty injury, which could possibly rule him out. And like, I suppose it's one of the heartening things of this campaign, because we know the contribution that Kevin Downs has made to Napiershig and the contribution he has made to Limerick hurling. And like, it was a joy to see him coming back to his best form in the quarterfinal, and in the quarterfinal win over Barry Brown. And he picked up on the same form while he was on the field against Patrick's Well, and had a couple of points on the board. He was playing at wing forward, look, county final day, you have to have your two best teams, and your two best teams have to have their best players. And like, I suppose it's not devalued, but it's unfortunate that county final day has been robbed of Richie English, and possibly robbed of Darragh O'Donovan and Kevin Downs. Like, three big players. But Napiershig have so much talent at their disposal. Like, less than 24 hours later, Napiershig are playing in the intermediate final. And all of that, you know, hasn't happened by accident. And I see people saying, they're going around kind of begrudgingly, they're sweeping everything. They're doing the hard work. They're putting in the hard yards and the hard graft. And it's the same with Doon. And the two Sunday's finalists, or Saturday evening's finalists, are in the Limerick Senior, the Bonsecure Limerick Senior Hurling Final 2020 for the same reason. Hard work, down, getting dirty, getting the young players out, bringing them through. And I think we're in for a cracking final. I think we're in for a cracking final. You have youth on both sides. You have experience on both sides. And it's very hard. It's very hard to call a winner, I think. There will be the enthusiasm of Doon. And I suppose there will be a massive wave of support around the county behind Doon. They have come so near. Like, this is them. They've had four final appearances, I think. This is their fourth final appearance. And they're looking for a first title. And they've been tantalizingly close on a couple of occasions. They have been hovering around the concluding stages for God knows how long now. I don't think anybody will begrudge them a win. But they have to beat Napiershig. And from what I've seen of Napiershig, and I left the Gaelic grounds on last Saturday evening absolutely, totally convinced that in beating Patrick's Well last weekend, the Napiershig did not fully empty the tank. I thought there was more in them. Like, David Dimsey is an absolutely incredible form. Got a fantastic goal. We looked back on it several times. He had fallen, and he got such clean purchase on the ball that it was a bullet that flew past Brian Murray. And on the evening, it was very, very hard to get past Brian Murray because he was in excellent form. But I'm cautiously going for Napiercy to just get over the line and frustrate Doon again this time.
Yeah, I'd side you there. Napiercy probably look to be the team that'll come out the Daily Cup. But again, you wouldn't begrudge Doon. They've been there for so long, pushing at the door. And maybe they'll get through. And it would be an incredible achievement to get through without the likes of Darragh Donovan and Rich English. But at the same token, it could be an incredible weekend for Napiercy. You touched on it there. They're in the Intermediate Hurling Final on Sunday at 2 o'clock in the LIT Gaelic Grounds, a game live on LMHA TV. Newcastle West were there last year. They lost to your Glenrothes side. They're back again. They'll have learned from that final, but this Napiercy machine, like, they could very easily pick up senior hurling, intermediate hurling honours in the space of 24 hours. Will Newcastle right the wrongs from last year, or will Napiercy get up the Premier Intermediate with their second team?
Well, I've said in Treaty Talk a couple of times that how impressed I have been back along with Napiercy. I have seen them a couple of times. In many ways, like, you know, their senior team isn't a hurling machine, it's a hurling juggernaut. And in many ways, these fellas reflect it, like, because obviously a lot of them, there'll be some four or five of them possibly on the bench on Saturday night, ready to be called on if required. But they're obviously training with the senior team. And now, I've seen Newcastle West as well. Now, Glenrothes beat both of them last year. They narrowly beat Napiercy in the semi-final, and they beat Newcastle West, as we know, in the final. So, like, it is no surprise that Napiercy are gone that one step further. And I said it to you earlier, I think in the last or second last treaty talk, like that, that Emmett Beston is in the position now, like that, you know, his squad is his squad. Because in the early days, like, he started off with James O'Brien and with Kieran Kennedy. Suddenly they were promoted senior. Alan Dempsey and Cathal King came back in. They were promoted senior. So unless things are going awry altogether on Saturday night, he's unlikely to be robbed of any of his what he would hope would be his frontline players. I've seen Newcastle West in the competition. When it was down to the quarterfinals, I felt that Newcastle West, they didn't root up any threes in the group stages, mind you, but I had a feeling that possibly they were keeping the best wine until the knockout stages. And I really believed that they were in a banana skin situation in the quarterfinal when they faced Palace Green. And that almost proved to be the case. But I was at that game, and the manner in which they responded when the challenge was put down to them in the second half, I saw Newcastle West side that I thought were going to be very, very, very difficult to beat. They have learned from last year. They have got a new resilience. They've got a new resolve. They've got, above all, Jack, a new mental strength. Because when they were playing into the wind and Palace Green, they were up 7 points or 8 points at halftime against Palace Green. Within 7 or 8 minutes of the second half, Palace Green had the lead whittled away. It was then we saw Newcastle West at their best. And they carried that form over into the semi-final. Because last year, it was a surprise when they beat Croom. They just got over Croom, but they made easy work of Croom. Now, all right, Croom were in it for a long, long time. But again, when it mattered, as it did against Palace Green, we saw Newcastle West at their very best. This has the potential to be a great final. Newcastle West are an even side all over the field. So are Napiercy. Like, Napiercy, you see, there are winners on both sides here, Jack. Like, you the Napiercy players, a couple of them, like the Kevin Ryan, Pat Leeson, they've seen your medals. But if you go through the squad, they have so many players that have underage medals, minor and under 21, and know all about winning big games. And you're the same in Newcastle West, because whilst they may not be winning big games is about winning big games, whatever coach is it. And you have guys, a lot of guys in that Newcastle West team who are also in the Newcastle West senior football team. So they know about how to dig out results, and you know they know how to respond when the challenge is put down to them and when they're in the trenches. I'm going for Newcastle West just about.
Yeah, I'd cautiously side Newcastle West. I think getting to a final and losing cannot be an invaluable experience, as Kildare Palace Kinnery showed last weekend. And we will touch on Kildare Palace, you know, later on in this. But yeah, I just side Newcastle just from that experience last year. But you couldn't put it past the Pierce League doing a double. We also have
Dinner. Like, the thing about it is, if the Pierce League win on Saturday night, you know, two different teams, but there'll be momentum within the club. And you know, it kind of becomes winning becomes kind of contagious. Like, so, you know, I wouldn't rule it out.
No, I certainly wouldn't.
After rolling it out now.
We have two of the Junior A hurling quarterfinals this weekend. Obviously, Croke Finney and Doon and Clahan versus Temple Anton are on next weekend. But focus on this weekend. Two games on Sunday. You have Castown Ballygran versus Patrickswell in Kilmallock. And you have Drum Broadford versus Killeedy in Newcastle West in an all-West derby. How do you see them games coming through? Castown Ballygran were obviously very, very impressive, as were Killeedy in the group stages. Can you look past them two teams?
It would be hard to look past them, Jack. On the face of it, it would look hard. Castletown Ballygran, they were county runners-up last year. They won the West Championship. They had a great run. They're dogged by a few injuries this year, which is inhibiting them. And whilst, I suppose, from very, very early on, they had enough done to come out of the group stages, but it is knockout hurling now, and they will have to be on their toes against Patrickswell, because we've seen Patrickswell in the past in the junior championship have been fine, tough customers, and it's easy to see why they can be tough customers, because they have a certain element of their team who have played senior hurling. And then they have another element of those that are coming through. And like in this year's County Premier Under 21 final, we saw some very, very, very good hurlers in the Patrickswell side who are now making it on to this junior team. Like, I think Patrickswell will push Castletown Ballygran. They'll push them, but I would expect that Castletown Ballygran will prevail. Now, if you look back west, Killeedy have been knocking at the door as such for the last couple of years. Beaten finalists in 2018, beaten semi-finalists, quarter-finalists last year, was it? And here they're back in the quarter-final again this year. They're against the Drum side now that have, for the last couple of years, been playing at intermediate level. They were relegated last year when they were beaten by Tournafall in the relegation final. And like Drum, when we think of Drum Broadford, these days, we think of Drum Broadford in football. But like, and that is to ignore and disregard that there is a very, very deep hurling tradition in Drum Broadford, a deep-rooted hurling tradition in Drum Broadford. Now, they have qualified. It was put up to them by Cracora Manister, which was a winner-take-all game in the group stages. And they got over it. But I honestly think that Killeedy will be a big step up for them. It's an all-West derby. It's a huge game. I think Killeedy will just about share that one.
Yeah, but they look to be two cracking games on paper between four evenly matched teams across the two quarterfinals. And we'll obviously have the next two quarterfinals the final week, as will relegation semi-finals in that division. This weekend again, we have the senior intermediate Camogie finals. A doubleheader in the Bog Garden. The senior finals on first, Newcastle West versus Killeedy at 1 p.m. And then you've Brough versus Capmore Intermediate at 2:30. The senior final is a repeat of last year. Newcastle West were the victors. Will they retain their crown, or can Killeedy avenge that?
It was the semi-final last year. Like both sides again, and I suppose it's nearly a cliche here with us now at this stage, are there on merit. These are challenging times for Newcastle West with truncated programme, because there are so many of their players that are trying to, there are so many of their players, you know, dual status or dual players, in that many of the Camogie team played with Monaghan or through to the senior football final. We'll be talking about that next week. And many more of them play with Old Mill, who were involved up to in the championship up to a week ago now. And they were in one semi-final. Monaghan were in the semi-final on Sunday. Newcastle West were on a semi-final on Tuesday night. And like, you throw into all that, you know, adding fuel to fire is like, you have a player, and Newcastle West are without a player of the caliber of Rebecca Delia. So like, it has been a challenging campaign for Newcastle West. Like, they beat Krakora in the first round in Newcastle West, very significantly in what was a clash of the champions and a repeat of last year's final. They went to Mackay Park in the second round and dug out a good win there on a bad evening. And of course, the delayed semi-final, they played it last Tuesday evening and got by the competition specialists. What else are there? Brenna Ballingarry. And they got over them, and here they are. They're in the final now. I have to say that I have been very, very impressed with Killeedy this year. Like, they had a good win over Brenna Ballingarry the first day, and then they went in and beat the Piercy in the Piercy. Get a very, very impressive semi-final win over a hand. Very, very impressive. All right, now they may have put a bit of a gloss on it with two late goals, but I thought throughout the game that it was a dominant performance by Killeedy. Now, there seems to be a hunger in Killeedy, and I think it has the potential to be a great final, Jack. Like, you've great players on both sides, you've county players on both sides. Like, you have a vast reservoir of experience, and I know they're the challengers in Killeedy. Like, you have up to five or six of the Killeedy panel who are looking for their sixth county senior medal, going all the way back to 2004. Like, that's a wealth of experience that you just cannot buy. I'm going for Killeedy. Just to share it, it'll be a West Derby. It'll be a very, very, very tense early afternoon in the Bog Garden on Sunday. But I just like what I saw in Killeedy, to think that they will be very, very hard to beat, and they certainly won't be short of hunger and motivation. They're appearing in the first final since 2015. Now, equally, Newcastle West will be very, very keen to put back-to-back titles together. They won the title for the first time last year. So, like, all the ingredients are there, but I just have this, you know, so many games in such a short space of time. The loss of Rebecca Delia, I think it tips it somewhat in Killeedy's favour.
Yeah, I'd be just edging towards Killeedy myself, but we'll have to wait and see. And then, obviously, afterwards, you'll have another cracking final, Brough and Capmore, to see who joins Newcastle and Killeedy in the senior competition. Which team will earn promotion, do you think?
No, this will be a very, very interesting one, because it's only a couple of weeks since they met in the group stages. Now, and Capmore won that one in Capmore 2:14 to 2:08. But that comes with a little health warning, in that both sides at that point had qualified for the semi-finals and were really only playing for first and second. Now, Bruff have been in the final last year. They were beaten by Krikora. In their respective semi-finals, Bruff went to Temple Lantern and won. Newly promoted Temple Lantern, like who made it to the semi-final this year, which was a great achievement. Whilst Cappamore had a good win over Pro Kilfinny in their semi-final in Cappamore. As a guide as to what might happen on Sunday in the Bog Garden, Jack, I would be inclined to totally disregard the league game of a couple of weeks ago. I think it's a new game. I think there's a lot of hurt in Bruff at losing the final last year. There's a saying that you have to lose one to win one. I think Bruff dovetailed neatly into that into that category. Like they've some very, very, very strong players, county players, like, you know, the like of Mary O'Callaghan, Niamh Ryan, Marion Quaid, Lorraine McCarthy, the captain of the team, and you have others who have played underage. But then on the other side, you have Claire Keating, you have Martin Kramer, the joint captain of the Limerick senior team at the moment, you have Lisa Leonard. Like, all the ingredients are there for a very, very good final. I'm tipping Bruff to go one better than last year and avenge that defeat in the group stages a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it seems to be a team in this year's championship that a lot of teams that have lost their finals the previous year have got to the final. And one such team that did that and got over the line was Kildare Pallet Skinnery. They beat Mungerus to go up to the senior ranks for the first time since the 40s. They joined Ballybrown, who won promotion last week, to the senior A. It's kind of two teams that have really been building for a few years now, and they're reaping the rewards. It was Kildare Palace's second promotion in 4 years, and Ballybrown's promotion senior A after winning back-to-back minors during the week.
Yeah, I congratulate both of them, first of all, and you would have to say that both of them richly deserve their promotion. And I liked a lot of what I saw about Ballybrown during the group stages, and I saw him a couple of times. Disappointed with their performance in the quarter final, but I'm giving him a bit of latitude on it in that, first of all, it was against the Piercy, and you know, they don't come any bigger, but they were missing two key defenders on that particular evening and had to reshape their defence. And like, you really need everything on board when you're facing the Piercy, because they will hurt you if it isn't. But I'm surprised that they're there, are where they are, and I think it'd be a very, very temporary stop on the way for a day, that they will be, you know, they'll be deciding Section B next year that they'll all have to beat, because they are, as we saw during the year, and they were impressive in the group stages, and possibly unlucky that they didn't come out of it, that they had very much in transition, bedding in a lot of young players. They had a very good win in the county under 21A championship earlier this year, and there was 8 or 9 of that panel on the senior panel. So like, all is not lost for the day, but I'm digressing now from what you asked me first about Ballybrown and Kildare Pallet Skinnery. I think Ballybrown are quite capable of settling in Section A. They were in Section A up to 2018. They're back up now after a 2 year absence. There's no doubt it hurt in Ballybrown when they lost their A status. And I can see Ballybrown, with what they have coming through, making a real, real go for it. Because you can just imagine next year, after two minor titles in a row, like, that they're going to build through the ranks, through the under 21s, and make it a stepping stone to senior. Some of them have made it already. We have been hugely impressed with Colin Coughlin, with Conor O'Neill, with Edna O'Connor. They've played so well with the seniors. So I have no doubt that more of them will be coming through. Kildare Pallet Skinnery, like, what can you say about them? You know, promotion from intermediate in 2017, beaten semi-finalists in 2018, beaten finalists in 2019. county champions in 2020. Jack, I honestly think, first of all, I think that whilst they lost the county final last year, it may not have been the worst thing that ever happened. It gave them an extra year, which I believe that they needed to be ready for senior hurling. Since this competition was introduced in 2014, I'm honestly saying that I believe that they're probably the best equipped side that has gone to make the transition from Premier Intermediate Hurling to Senior Hurling. Like, they will be nobody's whipping boys next year. Kildimo will be a team to beat. They're certainly a team going in the right direction. Like, we saw what they did in the semi-final. Mungret gave them plenty of it for 45 minutes. But we saw how they won the game in the finish. You know, it was just a power surge at the finish, close out the game. And they did it for me. They did it very, very impressively, which augurs very, 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 very well for their future at Senior Hurling.
Yeah, they look like two teams really on the up, and they look well equipped to push on, not to mind, stay up. Obviously, conversely, then there was a few relegations. You mentioned Adair, who dropped into Section B. Congratulations to Ahan, who maintained their status. They're the first team.
Absolutely. Congratulations to Ahan. It hasn't been easy. We saw the experience of South Liberties the previous year, and it looked certainly during the group stages that the Han would possibly go the same way. They had a very heavy defeat at the hands of the Piercing, and for 40 minutes in the second game, Kilmallock ran rings around them. And we saw it in the last 20 minutes, they clawed their way back into it. I suppose it's fair to say that both sides, both Kilmallock and Ahan, carried that forum into their next games for different reasons. That Ahan carried it to save their that last 20 minutes to built on it to beat Adair. And like, they ran up almost 30 points, Jack. That is a phenomenal scoring in an hour's hurling. Yeah. And a strong win there. Like, you can't argue with that, you know. That's what No, you can't.
They were very impressive at hand, and to their credit. But again, for every winner there's a loser. Maru Bohor will be back down in Premier Intermediate next year, 2 years after going up, and St. Pat's are gone down to Junior A a couple of years after getting promoted. So it's
not been a good season for him. I was at the Maru Bohor game, and you couldn't but feel sorry for him, Jack. I'm probably an old softy in that regard. I don't like seeing anybody going down, to be honest. And you know, Gareth Spillane and Maru Bohor were in the position they were in, probably mainly because they were dogged with injuries throughout the year. Now, Gareth Spillane, last week they had about four or five players back that were off the injury list, and most notably, and I noticed, Mark Quinlan was back for his first game, and by God, did he let us see why John Kiely has him in his plans to be in the Limerick senior squad. In a massive game, I thought. Now, James Ryan didn't make it back. But if you go across to Maru Bohor, during that particular week, they were happy to be welcoming back two key players who'd been out for a while, Mikey Ryan and Finn Howligan. And lo and behold, Shawnee Tobin does his hamstring and misses the game. So, you know, when you're out of luck, ducks are drowning you, kind of thing. And there was a bit of that about Maru Bohor. Maru Bohor and Gareth Spillane served up a game that you wouldn't believe it was a relegation game. They served up a very, very interesting and entertaining contest. Gareth Spillane won. They won it on merit. because when it went to extra time, they found the extra gear. I had a sense that, that it would happen because really Maroubor were really poked the pin in their collar with the strong wind to rein in on Garish Bilan and force the game to extra time. And Garish Bilan had that extra step in extra time and outscored them 6 points to two to preserve their status. It was crucially important, Jack, for Garish Bilan, and I'm not being parochial here because they're my neighbours or anything. It was crucially important that Garish Bilan survived because of the team that they have. They have a very exciting young team coming through. They won the Premier Minor in 2017 and 2018. And a lot of those players are coming through. A number of their players have come through the John the Baptist system, which won All-Irelands, the like of Dylan O'Shea, Ryan Tobin, Onzi Sheehan and those. It was very, very important, I felt, for, I suppose it was important for both sides, but it was particularly important for Garish Bilan because I would know him very well, that they had the platform of seeing a hurling for some very exciting young players. And they got over the line on Sunday. They were relieved, I believe, to be onwards and upwards. Because, let's face it, they were impressive winners of the 2018 Premier Intermediate Championship. But they have found senior hurling. On their return to senior hurling, they have found it an unforgiving place. They have found it difficult to settle. They certainly didn't settle last year. They're, in five games, they picked up one win and one draw, I think. Like they didn't get a win in the group stages this year, even though it was truncated version of the championship. But they got them over the line in the vital one, which preserved status. And it's built from here now.
So we move on to the football with a full round of fixtures. It's hard to believe that the games are going to get to this weekend. You have a full fixture list in the senior football, an intermediate football quarterfinals, and you have three games in junior A football quarterfinals. I suppose starting with the senior, the first game this weekend is the meeting of Ballylanders and Mona Lean tomorrow at 2 o'clock in Brough. Mona Lean were very impressive in the group stages. Ballylanders also picked up a win in round one and then fell to Oola. Can Mona Lean continue in this form, or can Ballylanders get to another semi-final?
I suppose it's a new look Mona Lean team. Mona Lean possibly could be the dark horses in this competition. There have been so many games between these sides over the last 10 years or so, and Ballylanders have had slightly the edge on Mona Lean. Ballylanders, they had a mixed passage on their way to the quarterfinal. Whilst Mona Lean were beating St. Kieran's and beating Galbally, you had Ballylanders had a victory over Galty Gales, but then came up short in the second game against Oola. So, if you're talking in terms of momentum, Jack, the momentum going into this one would seem certainly to be with Mona Lean, because they're on a bit of a winning run under Murish Gavin again. And as Ballylanders have to pick up the pieces after the defeat by Oola. And I suppose the only thing about the Ballylanders Oola game was it was the final game of the group, and it was a group both sides had qualified. So give Ballylanders a bit of latitude on that. But I think Ballylanders graphically saw on that particular occasion, they were playing last year's beaten finalists. It was quite clear to Ballylanders that they still have a gap to close to get back to where they were in 2018. When you recall, they contested the county final against Adare and ran Adare very, very, very close. And certainly Ballylanders in 2019 did not recapture that form And I think they're far from known. I've seen both of their games, and they're my own club. I think it has been a bit patchy, Jack. They're going in against the Monaghan side that would be full of confidence. Now, it's a no-look Monaghan side, but it's a Monaghan side that has been, you know, carefully built in many ways, in that it has come through good minor teams, good under 21 teams. Maybe they didn't make the break. They did in minor. Maybe they didn't break the breakthrough at under 21 level, but they will have had experience of competing in the concluding stages. And we got a sense last year of what level of backup they have when they won the Junior A Championship and are competing in the Intermediate Championship this year, which will give you an idea of the pool of talent that's in Monaghan. I think that this the Ballylanders will. I think Monaghan are favourites, Jack. Ballylanders will really, really test them. And it wouldn't surprise me if Ballylanders would win it. But I have a hunch that it's going to be Monaghan's there.
Yeah, I said from the outset I thought Monaghan were dark horses after seeing their under 21 side in recent years. Now, obviously, nothing ever comes easy against Ballylanders, but I'd just be siding Monaghan for that game. The other semi-final then, or quarter-final on Saturday, is meeting of Ballysteen and Father Casey's at 4 o'clock in Castle West. Albias aside, if you look at the results, you'd have to say Casey's are clear favourites after their, especially their win against Adair. Obviously, Ballysteen didn't pick up a win, but there is never really much between the two sides, and I can see that trend continuing this Saturday.
Yeah, Jack, I agree with you totally on that, on this one. Group stage for them, you needn't even turn up. You know, it has to be Father Casey's. But football games, football quarterfinals, I haven't won like that, thank God. Look, I just am at a loss to know where Ballysteen are. I saw the game against Drum Bradford. I saw so many good things for 40 minutes until it went off the rails in the last 20 minutes. And now they faced Newcastle West. And I suppose, you know, there was a while during the game against Newcastle West when it looked as if Newcastle West's winning margin might have been enough to deprive Ballysteen of going through to the quarterfinals. But they're there now. We saw what Ballysteen did now. It's totally different, but we saw what Ballysteen did last year in the quarterfinals, because like that was the closest call that Newcastle West got, I'd say, in the entire knockout phase of the championship last year. So that tells you, what that tells me is that there's a performance in Ballysteen. And there is a much better level in Ballysteen than we have seen in the last 20 minutes against Drum Bradford, or what we saw in the second group game against Newcastle West. If Seamus O'Donnell can get it out of Ballysteen, he's going to really have a side that are capable of putting it up to Father Casey's. Now, Father Casey's obviously have a newfound confidence. They're coming into the game on the back of two championship wins against a side that hasn't a championship win. There has to be a psychological advantage in that situation. Like, we saw in the opening game against the Piercy, and you were with me at that particular game, I think, Jack, and I probably was more impressed with him than you were, but I certainly was impressed with what I saw Father Casey's that particular day. And whilst I thought that they would put it up to Adair in the group game and would just come up short, they didn't. They went to full hog. And John Colbert is building, you know, it has been a mystery for a number of years how Father Casey's can be so successful at minor and under 21 level and cannot make the transition to senior, you know. And I'm just wondering this year, have they found a formula to arrest that? Because we saw the Newcastle West and the Emmy Fear management took a huge leap of faith in throwing in four minors. Like, and right from the get-go, they have bedded into the team. Like, you've Shane O'Connor in goals, you've Sean Kilbridge in defence, you've Eli O'Riordan playing midfield and playing wing-back, and you have Dylan Quirk. And is this the start of Newcastle, of Abbey Field really bringing through the young players and the undoubted pool and reservoir of talent that they have at their disposal? On paper, it looks like it should be a routine win for Father Casey's. It certainly will not. I think Barry Steen will put it up to Father Casey's, but it will probably come up short.
Yeah, look, I'd have to disagree with you there. Barry Steen do have that performance in them. I think we'll see it tomorrow, but look, time will tell.
His performances, if they could put them together, and there are times, and I have said this ad nauseum about Barry Steen more than anybody, that their performances very often haven't got the results they deserved.
Yeah, there has been a fair share of near misses, notably against yourselves in 18, with in the quarterfinal. But 3 years in a row quarterfinal, this could be the one for Barry Steen. Or I just said, Father Casey's, they have so much talent coming through. This could be the year where that kind of potential is reached. But again, we'll wait and see. Obviously, there's a breakdown until Wednesday with the other quarterfinals. Obviously, Newcastle is involved in the intermediate final and Doon's involved in senior final with pushback in games. On Wednesday night, you have Oula versus Galbally and Kilbreedy at 8 o'clock. Oula, obviously, were finalists last year. It's Galbally's second year at the grade. You've spoken a lot about Galbally this year. Is this one just a step too far for Galbally, or can they upset the odds again?
It may be. What I said about Galbally, and I stick with it, I thought they were the underperformers of last year. They beat St. Kieran's this year, which didn't surprise me. They came up short against Mona Lee. I certainly would be more confident about Galbally's chances going into next Wednesday's quarter-final, if somebody could assure me that former Limerick hurling captain James Ryan was on board, because he's an absolute key player. He's a key player for Glass Milan, but he's equally a key player for Galbally. He's an absolutely fantastic footballer, like, and has represented Limerick in football. But he's a huge cog in that team. And like they're actually in the quarter-final, Jack, without him. But it's at the stage now where, you know, you need everybody on board. I saw Oula against Ballylanders. I was impressed by Oula. any vestige of doubt that you would have about Oula's merit of being in last year's county final was firmly dispelled for me. They're again, like Doon, they're without Richie English, who to me is a very, very important player in their football cog. But Jack, they're physically a very, very strong side. Physically a very, very, very strong side. And with an awful lot of good footballers. And we all know about Josh Ryan, what Josh Ryan brings to the table. But you have young guys there like Fiacre O'Grady, Dufan O'Grady, Jack Downey, young players coming through, you know, full of enthusiasm, full of running. And they complemented the seasoned players like Owen Fitzgibbon and the Burke brothers and Raymond Ryan and those guys. I think all are formidable. They're a formidable outfit. Now, they beat Galbally in the first round last year, and talking to some of the Oula connections since the quarter-final pairings were known, and they started dismissing that, saying, we got a few soft goals and all that early on. But they did, but Oula, and we spoke about it right through the campaign last year, and although it deserted them in the final, it was their ability to create and score goals that took them to the county final last year. They haven't lost it. They haven't parted. They don't let it Oula when they come to play a match. They bring it with them. It'll be a very interesting game. It'll be a tight game. but I think it might be a bridge too far for Galway.
Yeah, it looks like just that step up to Ula could prove too much. But they could prove it strong, but Ula do look to be in a very strong state this year. And again, after reaching the final, they look like they could go all the way again this year. But obviously, the glamour tie of the round is undoubtedly in Castle West versus Adair. They've played out some real crackers in last year's. You'll recall the 17 final when Adair won their first ever title with a late goal against Newcastle West, and Newcastle West's revenge win last year in McNeville Park. It was probably the best performance I've seen in a Limerick club football game ever from Newcastle last year. Just intensity, precision, accuracy, just the power was incredible. And this time now, it's Adair that'll be the ones coming in trying to avenge the defeat. It's just a fascinating tie, whatever way you look at it.
It's absolutely fascinating. And the permutations, well, would say what has gone before, like, are just fascinating and adding to the intrigue. Look, this is a quarter final apart. We saw the semi final last year, and you're absolutely right with Newcastle West had to pull out an absolute 5-star performance to prevent Adair taking another step towards 3 in a row. Now, the only difference this year will be, or a slight difference that there will be this year, they are coming into the game on the back of a defeat to Father Casey's. Now, Newcastle West had two convincing wins in their group stages. And were Newcastle West to win the hurling, there's a considerable crossover, and that is going to add to the momentum, and that's going to add to the desire to make up and hope go a step further to achieving the double that they came so tantalizingly close to last year. It has all the ingredients of an absolute cracker. Like, when we start talking about the personnel on both sides, we'd be here for half the day. And you know, the subplots that are within the game. But it's a clash of the titans, the current titans of Limerick football. I'm going for Newcastle West, just to shade it. But you know, were Adair to avenge it, it won't be a shock. There's so much talent in Adair. They look as if they have been around forever. But they haven't. They're a very, very young side. They have, you know, their CV is just, check, incredible. Relegated 5 years ago, their CV since, county intermediate champions, Munster club finalists, twice county premier under 21 champions, twice senior champions. Every club in the length and breadth of this county would die for that CV. And most of those players are still in their early 20s, the men that made all that happen. So, like, and they are very, very far from gone away. But I think that probably the bit of momentum will be with Newcastle West. And I just go for the boys in the county town just to get over the line, but after a fright.
Yeah, I'd be siding Newcastle as well. As you said about Napiershig, a juggernaut in the hurling, I think Newcastle West are a juggernaut in the football. But I backed Newcastle in 17, they lost. I backed Adair last year, they lost. I could very easily prove wrong again this on Wednesday night.
You're what is commonly called a magpie, if that's what you're doing.
Well, we'll see. Do the magpies come on top on Wednesday night? But moving then on into the Intermediate Football Championship, there's four games on this weekend, starting tonight with the meeting of Glynn and Mungert St. Paul's in Cahardavon. Obviously, there's a good turnover in the Mungert team with the hurlers from last week. They'll be keen to get over that loss in the hurling. They went 2-2 in the group, and they were actually very impressive. They were close last year against Galty Gales, and it's hard to pass them. Glynn overcame Brough in the group stages. But it does point towards a Mungert win.
It does, and a badly needed boost for Mungert St. Paul's the week that they've had, losing the Premier Intermediate on Sunday and the Premier Minor on Wednesday night. But you know, they were they may have lost both finals, but they were in both finals, and that in itself is testimony to the great work that has been done out in Mungret. I was in Mungret Club last Sunday for the ladies' football semi-final, and it's some operation out there. The amount of people that they're catering for out there is simply phenomenal, and I'm seeing it every week with their notes and what have you. But you're right, they were extremely close last year to Galtee Gaels. They forced Galtee Gaels to extra time. They have a very, very useful football team. Now, this is second time since promotion in 2012 that they have made it through to the quarterfinals. And like they had an impressive win over Bruff. Like they lost to St. Sennans heavily in the first round, and it was a make or break game with Bruff. And there's been a bit of history between Bruff and Glen over the last couple of years. Mind you, at the wrong end of the table, in a battle to avoid relegation. But like they dug out a comprehensive win, and there was a quick turnaround, which speaks volumes for them. That they turned around, they put the defeat to St. Sennans behind them, and really dug it out. Now, Mungret St. Paul's probably had the easier passage. In that they had Mona Lean, who were newly promoted, and they had Kildymo Palace Kenry, who are still struggling to find their feet at Premier level, because they certainly didn't set the world on fire last year. Kildymo just picked up one win. But having said that, it was a Kildymo team, I would say, and they can be excused for this, that was firstly focused on hurling matters. Now that is off the table, and they will be able to focus solely on the football. But it is what it is when it was in the group stages. Glen will provide a tougher test than either Kildymo Palace Kenry or Mona Lean for Mungret St. Paul's. But it's just very, very, very difficult to see Mungret St. Paul's not getting over the line now.
Yeah, it does seem like that. Then moving on to tomorrow. At 2 o'clock in Askeaton, you have the meeting of Kildymo Palace Kenry, we touched upon, and St. Sennans. Again, St. Sennans are in their first year down at the level again after relegation. They had two wins. They looked very impressive in that group stage, and they play Kildymo Palace, who in their only real test against Mungret St. Paul's really weren't up to the standard, we'll say. They'll obviously buy out by that hurling win, but again, it looks like it's the straightforward quarterfinal tie.
They will be buoyed. They'll be buoyed up by the hurling win. There's no question about it. And don't forget that they have among their ranks three of Billy Lee's senior football panel, Tony McCarthy, Peter Nash, and John Chalk. I think you're going to see a different Kildymo Palestinian animal in this game on Saturday. Now you're right, St. Sennans. They were impressive winners of the Premier Intermediate Football Championship in 2017. They beat Galway in the final in McNeville Park. And their first year up at senior level in 2018, they were distinctly unlucky, you will recall, Jack, and the records will show this, that they just missed out on the knockout stages on scoring difference. But it all went awry for them last year. It all went horribly wrong. And they were relegated back down. So they will be so keen to get back on track again and get back up, you know, where possibly they certainly believe that they belong. And if you could argue with it, with the way that they performed in 2018. Of course, they'll have a hard core of players who have had 2 years' experience behind them. Of course, you see, the dynamic of a competition and the dynamic of a championship changes dramatically when you move out of the group stages to the knockout stages. And this is what we're going to be seeing at the weekend. There are no more safety nets that if you lose, you have another chance. Yeah, you win, and you go through, you lose, you're out. So I can't see beyond St. Sennans in this one, but anyone that would be thinking that it may be a cakewalk on forum for St. Sennans, I would say forget it. I would say Kilgaimock, Paddy's Kinry will give a very good account of themselves.
Yeah, I think they will as well, but I just think St. Sennans just will have too much. Then on Sunday, you have two games. The first game, or they're both on at 2 o'clock. Clahan versus St. Patrick's in Ballybrown. Clahan, after a truncated start, a truncated season, probably had a shock win by all accounts against Rakeel. But after a very promising 2019, they seem to be building, and they will be favourites against St. Pat's. St. Pat's, obviously, when you consider the hurling, that relegation last week, they'll have all their eggs in this basket. But Clahan will come in as favourites this game.
Yeah, Clahan haven't lost a game in the group stages since 2018, Jack. They went through the group stages unbeaten last year and got knocked out in the semi-final by Gerald Griffins. It's a city derby. Pats were relegated at the end of 2018. They were beaten in the quarter-final last year. I was at the game by Galty Gales. It's not very long ago, Jack. 6 years ago, since St. Pat's contested the county senior final against Ballylanders in Newcastle West in 2014, and were quite close that day. And, you know, in many ways, I suppose you could loosely attribute the term fallen giants to them. But they are where they are now. And of all teams going into the intermediate championship, I have found over the years, that in the opening games, it's very hard to get a fix. The hardest team to get a fix on is Clahan, because it depends. They seem to have a turnover of players. If they can get all their footballers out, and that is the trick, and they have a certain core of their players, I suppose, that are involved in other sports, and it's difficult at times. But once they get anything near their top footballers out there, they are a formidable force. And they've been knocking at the door for a long, long time now at this grade, 3 or 4 years. And I suppose they were once the giants of Limerick GAA. It's not too long ago, Jack. It's less than three decades ago since Tahan completed the senior hurling and senior football double. And, you know, they have fallen on hard times. And I think it would be very, very good for one of Limerick's great clubs, you know, to win something and to win an adult competition. And we'll just take the quarterfinal for the moment. But I fancy them just to get over St. Patrick's. I think they probably will have enough. Their victory over Rakeel, I didn't consider it a surprise. I thought it was a 50-50 game that could go either way. If you had gone on the basis of their game against Mount Collins, where they surrendered a huge lead, you'd say to yourself, right, but there were factors on that night. There was a strong wind, and Clahan had it in the first half and looked to have done enough to get off to a winning start, but Mount Collins clawed him back. And but they certainly atone for it in the second round with a good win over Rakeel. And they'll be full of confidence following that. And I go for Clahan just.
Yeah, I'll be edging towards Clahan, nearly fully based on that Rakeel result. Rakeel obviously had their own quarterfinal to worry about. They played Gerard Griffins in a repeat of last year's quarterfinal. That game's on at 2 o'clock in Skeeton on Sunday. And you'll recall that quarterfinal last year, Rakeel looked to have it sewn up. They were, I'm not sure if they were 6 or 7 ahead, but they wouldn't score again in the final 15 minutes. And Ter Griffins won by a point, went on to contest the final, brought that final to a replay. It's two real powerhouses of the Intermediate Football Championship going against each other, and it'll be a huge scalp for whoever comes out through it.
It is. And Brian Nolan is back at the helm of Rakeel. And Rakeel footballers are one of the clubs that I would watch all day. They play a lovely brand of football. And right back to when they were promoted, when they won the Intermediate Championship back in 2013, spent a couple of years at senior and are now back down again. But they have never sacrificed their principles of good football. I remember distinctly that game. Oh, what a finish that game. They were 6 points up with just about 12 minutes to go. And since John Griffin's kicked 7 points, 6 of which were from clear, that will give you an idea of the type of sodge that that John Griffin's came with in those closing stages. And of course, we know now that John Griffin's went on to reach the county final and force the county final to a replay in which they were very, very close also to Celtic Gaels. So it has the ingredients again and all the elements of what should be a fascinating struggle, this one, Jack. I'm going for John Griffin's. I think that the experience that they will have gained from last year will stand them in good stead. I think they will have matured in the meantime. They probably have more key players than Newcastle, than Rakeel. Rakeel are down a few key players this year. And I'm going for Gerald Griffin's. But it could be a close call.
Yeah, I imagine it'd be a close game, but Gerald Griffin's just, but again, that experience of last year, they just look to be in a better position. Obviously, there was a relegation semi-final last week. Brough overcame Mona Lean. Palace Green and Mount Collins play this weekend in the relegation semi-final to see who plays Mona Lean. It's an even enough campaign or a contest, two sides that really haven't performed this year. Which team will save off relegation and who will go forward to that relegation final against Mona Lean?
It is an understatement, I suppose, Jack, to say that they haven't performed. That's why they are where they are. Look, relegation games very often tend to take on a life of their own. It's been a big fall from grace for Palace Green, who were relegated from senior ranks, I think it was in 2015 or 2016. And, first couple of years were challenging up there around quarterfinals, semi-finals, but in last year and this year have particularly hit what seems to be a low ebb for them because, of course, they're great battlers. And we spoke a while ago about Kildimo Palace Kinnery and the task they had with marrying hurling and football commitments. Palace Green were in a similar situation this year. They were relegated in hurling last year. And I said earlier in our podcast, Jack, that I thought they were the biggest threat to Newcastle West in the Intermediate Hurling Championship. Now that they have shed their commitments to hurling, they're going to be a different animal in football. I think they probably will put all their focus on trying to preserve status in football. But they do have the safety net of a final if they were to lose to Mount Collins. I actually think that Mount Collins will probably win this one because they are the great survivors of this competition in recent years. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have been contesting relegation finals or anything like that. It's just that they have been hovering at the wrong end of the table and have just survived, have dug out a win here and maybe a draw there that has kept their head out above water. I think that they would probably try and put the issue to bed at the weekend. I fancy Mount Collins just to get over the line.
Yeah, and whoever wins that game will be safe and whoever loses will go into the Mount Lean in the relegation final. In the Junior A Championship, there's 3 games. Newcastle West versus Kiltea Drumcline has been postponed, obviously due to Newcastle's involvement in the Senior Football Championship and the Intermediate Hurling Final. On Saturday, you have the meeting of Atay versus Coromannister in Knockaderry at 4 p.m. Atay were really the standout team across any competition and any codes during the group stages. I know it's probably for the detriment of football, really, but a plus 75 points differential from 3 games. Kilcora Manister really have it up against them to come up against Atay, who were intermediate last year and really are the farm team.
They are, and you're right. They ended the 3-game series with plus 75. Most of it was accrued in the second round, 9-23 to 5 points win over Hospital Hubblestown. And I'm sure my South Limerick friends here in Hospital Hubblestown won't thank me for reminding them of that. But that feeds into that huge that huge points difference. But that's not to detract one bit from a tail. Like they have been the forum. The forum team of the championship, and they've just served notice that they were they're going gung ho all out to get back up to intermediate status. It was a surprise last year, Jack. You must remember when they were beaten in the relegation final by Glenn. Like they were fancied to win that one, but it didn't happen, and. They are where they are now, but they have three very convincing wins under their belts, Crocora Manister, they are making strides in football as well. But I think that they are going to pull a bridge too far for them on this occasion.
Yeah, it looks certainly like it's a tale to lose. Then on Sunday at 5 o'clock in Fenimore, you've Croom versus Ballybrown. Croom topped their group one. Ballybrown were second. Obviously had a heavy loss in round three, but Ballybrown will have the full hurling contingent back, as will Croom, of course. It's kind of hard to separate these teams. I wouldn't be sure who I'd side for. Probably Croom on the base they topped their group, but Ballybrown are certainly making strides in football as well as hurling.
They are. They're making huge strides. And of course... they won the Junior B Championship how many years ago? About 3 years ago now. They had a replay in the city final, they had a replay in the quarter final, they had a replay in the semi final, and they had a replay in the final. So, like, they were the draw specialists, but they were the replay specialists as well. And not only were they satisfied with that, but they went on and they won the Munster Club Championships. And inflicted a first defeat on a Kerry team in 10 years out at Knockaderry. So they're not a team to be dismissed. But having said that, now, Croom have been knocking at the door for the last couple of years at junior level. They have a strong tradition of football in Croom, Jack. And they have Stephen Lucy and Marco Reardon with vast experience who have seen it all before, done it all before. I'm going for Croom and this one to end the Ballybrown aspirations.
Yeah, and it will follow suit the team that reached the final the previous year, getting back to the final. But we'll see. Obviously, then rounding off the quarterfinal fixtures in the Junior A for this weekend, you've Monaghan and Casey's Sunday at 6 o'clock in McNeville Park. Casey's only qualified last night. It's a quick turnaround for them, but I presume they won't mind. And they'll have it fresh in their legs. Monaghan were very impressive in the group stages, 3 wins from 3, including that heavy win over Ballybrown in round 3. It's Casey's second team against Monaghan's first, and you'd probably fancy Monaghan.
You would fancy Monaghan, but if we're looking for reasons as to why Father Casey's second team are contesting at this, at the outset of our conversation on football, we spoke about Father Casey's and about the reservoir and pool of talent at their disposal from underage success, and that is certainly feeding into this that they have probably a huge pool of players, of adult players now, and probably an awful lot of them at in or around the same standard. So I suppose it's not a surprise then in those circumstances that Father Casey's, they've been tracking this for the last 2 or 3 years. And actually, they won a Junior A Championship. Was it 6 or 7 or 8 years ago? And they beat Brewery in the final in Brewery. Because it was the second team, they weren't allowed to compete in the Munster Club Championships. So Brewery went on and represented and reached the Munster Club final. So, it isn't a very big surprise, but one of the forum teams have been Monaghan this year. Maybe, unlike the ones that we spoke about that were focusing on hurling to the detriment, or I won't say detriment is too strong a word, probably at the expense of football while they were still involved in the hurling. one more game, a bit the other way around. You know, certainly they had a poor campaign by their standards in the Junior A Hurling Championship, and whilst they ran to three straight wins, and literally ran to three straight wins in the group stages. I'm going for Monaghan to make the last four on this, Jack.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think just Monaghan are kind of building at that level. Obviously, there's the, as you mentioned previously, the ladies' football finals are next week, so we'll look at them next week. That appears to be all the football for this weekend. Just before we finish, obviously, the Premier Minor final on Wednesday, we touched on that, Ballybrown winning. You have two more. You have the Minor A and Minor B hurling finals on Wednesday and Thursday night.
Yeah, like, before I just address that point, the manner in which Limerick GAA has run off the minor championship, it reflects nothing but credit on them. It has been phenomenal in the circumstances. The manner in which they've organised the competition and have organised and have got very, very, there have been very, very good competition. Like, there was excellent Premier Minor final, you know, and a source in Ballybrown has been telling me since the final, like, that to a certain degree, the final score camouflaged what was a great final. And we're down to the Premier Minor has been decided, as has the 13 aside been decided. So we're down now to the Premier, or to the Minor A final, which is an all-south affair between Connacht Dubh and Bruff. Connacht Dubh are a combination of Hospital Herbertstown and Knockaney. And of course, there will be huge local rivalry in that particular one. Now, from the semi-final stage on, the Minor A Championship has been the preserve of South Limerick, because Connacht Dubh Gaels beat Black Rock in their semi-final, and Bruff beat Killacolla Gaels. So, like, it's neighbours, Bruff and Knockaney. You know, they can't come much closer than that. Bruff Rugby Club is even based in Knockaney, so that'll give you an idea of how close they are. That's going to be a very interesting final, as will be the B final. Now, I saw a bit of the B semi-final on Wednesday night between Knockaderry and St. Kieran's. I was hugely impressed with Knockaderry. They seem to have a very, very good side. They come up against the Belleville side, which is quite a good side as well. The Belleville are drawn from Fianna Fáil Media and from Fiohanna. That promises. There's the promise of two great finals, and I suppose two fitting finals to the minor championship for this year, which again, I repeat, like all championships, has been run off in an exemplary manner.
Yeah, and just to echo your point there, there looked a time this summer when we had no GA, then it looked like we'd have a full set of fixtures with all the fans, and we had no fans. And through it all, we've gotten all the championships. The hurling will be completed this weekend, bar the Junior A Championship and the relegation finals, and we're closing in on football semi-final.
Junior B Championship is reaching the concluding stages in the divisions now.
Yeah, Junior B as well. But to be fair, like, there's been a lot of hiccups, but all the games have gone ahead, and it's just a credit to everyone involved.
It's an absolute credit, because for the county secretary and everybody involved, it has to be a logistical nightmare, making provisions for each individual game to the extent to which they had to do it due to the COVID restrictions. And like, it was carried out to a T. They did it extremely well. All right, there were breaches that people got in when they shouldn't have got in. But that was certainly outside Limerick GAA's control. But the way they put the structure in place and the way they ran off their games, it reflects nothing but credit on them.
Yeah, and again, credit to them. And it's much appreciated by everyone around the county. We all love the GAA.
Anybody that you're speaking to, you know, are in admiration. And plus, Jack, the amount of games that Limerick GAA made available through Limerick GAA TV is very, very much appreciated as well.
Yeah, and it has been shown in the amount of people watching and the amount of feedback that has been given. So it's a nice end on a positive note, and hopefully we'll have we've an awful lot of fixtures this weekend. Hopefully we'll have a few good ones and we'll reflect on them again next week. Thanks again for your time, Matt, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Jack.